One, and really looking at reaching out in love to people who don't know Jesus. Evangelism is not a program. Giving our lives away and figuring out how we can live the kind of life where we're loving God. We're being involved in what he's doing. And so today, I want to look at it from a new perspective, and this is the perspective of sharing our difficult seasons. One of the things that often happens when we struggle, when we're going through hardships, and I know guys are especially good at this. When we're struggling, what do, gentlemen? Anybody know? We cave. We cave. We tend to retreat. And I think it's not just the guys, but I, being a guy, I know for sure it's all with the guys. We struggle. We struggle with that whole thing of stepping away from people when things are going poorly. And life has many different seasons. There are great mountaintops and there are deep valleys. And I mean, life, it is difficult. And is there, as we continue on today, guys, I want to ask you this question. Is there a difficult situation that you need to entrust to God today? Is there something that you're going through right now that you need to come before the Lord? Broken, a bit beaten up emotionally and maybe even relationally and spiritually. But is there something that you need to bring before the Lord? And let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Because I think sometimes there's an idea sometimes that's put out there for Christians that, boy, if you're a believer, if you're really serious about your faith, you're going to be happy all the time. You're going to be fine no matter what the situations. And I love this section in Ecclesiastes where we get to experience the truth about God. The truth about God. That he is with us and he expects us to have seasons in our lives. He is willing to walk with us through those seasons. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Guys, all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. When we only have one season of everything being bright, it literally makes the desert. And we've got this blessing of different seasons. You know, we spent 6 years in Uganda. One of the hardest things for me to get used to was no seasons. It was always really, 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 really hot. And you woke up and you thought, another sunny day. And there it was, another sunny day. I remember coming back to Seattle. And just the fact that there were seasons and it felt so good to have, you know, we've had a great summer. We're coming into a season right now get ready for rain and lots of it for a long time. And I don't know about you, but last year the weather was rough on me. The rainy season, it seemed like it went forever. Oh my goodness. So I'm preparing myself mentally and emotionally right now. You know what? We're gonna be ready for this. But one of the things that comes to mind during these seasons, during these ups and downs, is sometimes it's hard to know what God's will is when things are going well and then poorly and up and down, and you're on a mountaintop and in the valley, and things beyond your control happen, and things in your control you mess up, and right? Through all that process, you know what? How can we know that we're in God's will? And I think one of the main mistakes that we make as we talk about this scripture of knowing that we're in God's will is we tend to think, if I'm honoring God, things are going to go smooth. And then the challenge comes up and you're like, God, what? What's going on here? Why me? What is all this about? I don't understand. Why me? There's a lot of times where we can experience in life challenges that when they come. Back on the mission field, I remember standing on top of a 20-foot anthill. This was back before, right at the beginning of cell phones. And my leg was about, it was huge and purple. And I was worried about it, having to have it taken off. And I was standing up on an anthill, trying to balance on this 20-foot anthill, calling, trying to get a signal to call Seattle to figure out what to do to make sure my leg wasn't going to fall off or have to be cut off. And I just remember thinking right there, like I've thought so many different times in my life, of God, I'm serving you. I'm doing what you've asked me to do. What? Really? This? Is this what I get for honoring you, for serving you? And there's times in those valleys where it can seem so dark. And we can be very, very discouraged. Ecclesiastes goes on to say, what do people really get for all their hard work? You got this sense, don't you? What do we really get for all this? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. I want you to think about that. It's not saying everything is beautiful in its own way. It's in its own time. In its own time. God has made everything beautiful in its own time. God can make something good out of our pain and brokenness if we're willing to trust him with the pieces. But we got to be honest. In the valleys, sometimes we tend to try and carry our own burden. We try to, as Homer was saying earlier, be on the throne. We try and deal with it and figure it out and make a way. At times when we do come to God, we ask, why me? And I was listening to a gentleman today. He spoke another church, and he was born in Uganda, and he was from an area just about 5 miles away of where he was born and spent his younger years, about 5 miles away from where Julie and I got to serve in Uganda. And he was sharing, and he was talking about struggle. One of the things, it was like God has just put all kinds of ideas in my head about struggling and about the challenges of life, and as he was sharing, he said one thing that just really stuck with me. and it was great treasures. Great treasures are secured by serious security. Great treasures have serious security around them. There's a reason that treasure has security. It's of great value. It's of great value. And sometimes we think, man, if God is for us, he's just going to open all the doors and they're going to burst open, burst forth, and we're going to walk through and it's going to be us in the Red Sea once again, right? And we're going to come to the Red Sea and it's going to part and we're going to go through and that's how we know that God is with us. But sometimes those great treasures have the great security for a reason. And God wants to bring us through in his time. And that means that there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some struggling. As we serve a suffering Savior. Think about that. We serve a Savior who suffers and took upon our sin on him. He was without sin. And yet all my sin, all your sin was placed on him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. You may be going through an ugly season right now. You may be going through a time where you're thinking, God, I'm tired. Last Sunday, we had a time with Kadana. Kadana, it's good to have you here. It's good to see you. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. We need to keep everybody in prayer in this church. I was going home from Sunday, and as I was driving home, a lot on my heart, a lot on my mind, and I was coming down to a sign and an intersection, and it's a yield sign, and I'm turning right, and the car in front of me is turning right. And to my left is the Burger King at the bottom of the hill and down some as you go to 405. And as I'm turning right, there's no traffic coming. So I'm thinking, okay, we're fine. And the car in front of me has turned right. And all of a sudden, he slams on his brakes. He had seen in his rearview mirror a couple blocks back in his rearview mirror lights of a police car. And rather than pulling over slowly, he slammed on his brakes, and I'm turning like this, and I slammed on my brakes and right into him. And I just was thinking, okay, Lord, I know I'm talking about frustration and struggling and valleys and mountaintops, but you don't have to give me a personal example here, you know? I'm thinking, you know, okay, we're okay. We were going very slow. But I think it's just going to be this small thing. And I look down, and over the wheel, the whole front corner is crushed in, and even the water that puts the goes to the windshield wipers is broken, and the water's going down, and the soapy water's going down. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And then I start thinking, oh, now I got to go home and tell my wife that I was silly and had an accident. Then I got to call the insurance company, and then my insurance is going to go up. And then we've got a deductible all these different things. And guys, that's a small thing. It's a small thing in light of what so many are going through. It's a small thing. And I really want to encourage us. No matter what season you're going through, whether it's your finances and they look ugly, and you're stressed about how do I pay these bills? How do I get this done? Your health God, what's going on? I'm doing these things and I'm struggling now in my health. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you're at a place where you're really hurting and you don't know how to make things right and how to come together. Maybe it's a friendship with one of your friends that's gone sour. And you've tried to reach out and they've just kept you at a distance. And every time you've reached out, they've made it clear, no. No. All of us are going through a lot of things. Maybe it's you're looking at the future and you've got the things before you and you're thinking of all the things that are coming. And there's fear and there's concern. God can make something good out of what you're going through if you trust Him with the pieces. Guys, we will be experiencing times of brokenness. We will be having times where we feel undone. But God meets us in those places. He is our strength. I love that picture of the Red Sea and as they're coming to the Red Sea and there's not a realization that there's a problem until who's behind them? The Egyptians. Sometimes the obstacles are there, but we're not so aware of them because we don't have the problem that we're going through. And what a picture that was. Man. The idea that God meets us where we need to be met. I wanted to look at 2 Timothy 4. And this is right after Paul has said these words. This is at the end of Paul's ministry. And he's just been talking about that he's been poured out like a drink offering and his departure's near. And he's fought the good fight. He's finished the race. He's kept the faith. And then he comes and he shares. And remember what Paul's heart is and what his life is like. I mean, Paul did not have an easy time. Five times Paul was whipped 39 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was beaten down with stones. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He lived many years on the road, struggling with bandits and hunger and poverty. This is a man who was from the best of families, who had everything. And he says, he gave it up to follow the Lord. And he says here in 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18, "But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me to safety into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen." I love this because here's Paul. He's at the end of his life. He's at the end of his ministry, and where's his focus? His focus is on the Lord and others. I love this. First of all, in our struggle, I want to encourage us. Let's have our eyes. If we're struggling, the number one way to be depressed and to struggle with depression is to take your eyes and put them on yourself. And if we get our eyes focused on ourselves and our problems and our worries and our concerns, we're going to go from bad to worse. We're going to go from possibly, I mean, the depression. Have you ever been beyond depressed? Some of you have experienced clinical depression. Some have experienced the kind of aching and pain, that feeling of hopelessness. But when we get our eyes off ourselves and focus on the needs of others, and we see that here with Paul, "But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety." Here he is in house arrest, and what's he doing? He's about other people. rather than saying, God, I've served you for a lifetime, and now I know I'm coming to my end. And really, this is where I'm at? This is what I'm going through? I've suffered so much. Can I at least end well? End well doesn't mean ending easy. Also, when we're focusing on the needs of others, guys, for people who are outgoing and extroverts, the challenge is to keep people at a distance while seeming like you're still being involved. But you're doing it in a way where you're keeping people at a distance, but you're being very outgoing and talkative, but you're not being real. So you're talking a lot and sharing with people, but you're not bringing them into what you're going through. For people who are introverts, man, when the struggle hits, it's retreat, it's stay back, it's give me my space. And I want to encourage both the extrovert and the introvert, let's be real with each other. Let's be willing to share what we're going through, to share the struggle. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. I love this. Because he's sharing, God is my strength, and he rescued me from certain death. And he's going to preach the good news. He's taking an opportunity of his suffering to then bring it for the Lord's blessing of others. The Apostle Paul focused on telling people about Jesus when he was suffering, when he was struggling. The second thing I see here is we need to not lose sight of our purpose. Once again, if the eyes go here, if the eyes are struck, if we are focused on self, we miss out on what God has for us, not at the end of the struggle. Guys, if you're going through a hard time right now, guess what? Probably in 2-3 months, as things change and as lessons are learned, you're going to look back and you're going to be able to say, man, look at what God brought me through and look at the blessings and look what I learned. Wouldn't it be incredible to experience the blessing in the midst of the suffering? And we can. It doesn't mean that our situation has to change for us to experience God's blessing. Guys, if you hear nothing else, hear that. Our situation of what we're struggling with doesn't have to change for us to experience the blessings of God. In the midst of the storm, we can be at peace. We can be at rest. It is not easy, and there will be times where you hit that valley, but you don't have to get lost. It can be a hiccup, and then you're, okay, God, I'm feeling this way, and let me get out of myself. Let me share my life, my struggle. Let me bring out, give me the strength, Lord, and the trust in you to bring other people into my struggle here. And let me pray with people. Rather than hide what I'm going, let me pray with people. When we share out of our brokenness, guys, people can relate. If we try and act like being a Christian is acting like everything's fine when it's not, we just look disjointed and we sound dishonest. There are seasons, aren't there? There's a time to mourn and a time to laugh. There are times, and it's appropriate at times to go into those times. But we don't have to stay. And one of the ways we don't stay in that brokenness is by being honest with God, saying, God, I need you here because I don't see you. And then being real with people and bringing people into our struggle, letting them walk with us through. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of that, I start seeing other people's needs. Have you ever been in a hospital visiting somebody And as you're visiting, and it's something serious. There's been a number of times where, you know, part of what I do is visiting people. And it happens time and again where I go in and the person who's got something really serious that's going on. And as we're talking, different things are being shared and they're asking me if I'm okay. And all of a sudden, I've gone in to be a blessing, and now their heart is in such a place that now they're ministering to me. Have you ever been there? It is humbling. It is humbling because then you see your brother or your sister struggling in an intense way, and yet you see in the midst of it the joy and the peace of Christ in them. And all of a sudden, my concerns, my woes, oh man, God, forgive me. I'm focused here. Help me get my eyes off me, onto you, onto the people that you've put in my life. Let me follow this person's lead. Let me love like this. Let me respond in trust. And on that note, the kind of building from that of not losing sight of our purpose is the last one, which is sharing the struggle, which is kind of all of what we've been talking about, but kind of wrapping it up to focus on supporting others. Your pain and suffering give you empathy for others. Guys, God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste it. What you're going through right now, what you went through in the past, it's not just because. Some of the greatest ways that God's blessed others through me is where I've shared my brokenness. And where people realized, man, even what a mess you were in, and where your heart was at, and where your mind was at, God reached out and loved you right there. And he walked with you through it. It gives others hope. We need to let others in. Instead of thinking, I'm so broken, I'm so lonely. And guys, there's a season for that. Right? There's a season for, ah! But we don't have to live there. We don't have to live there. And after that reaction of being real with God with our emotions, then we start building on the truth of who we are in him. Father, help me be a friend to people who need a friend. Lord, help me see others through my brokenness and through their suffering. And use, God, use what you've done in me and what you've allowed me to experience to have a heart for what others are going through. To soften me up. Some people, when you meet them, there's something about them that no matter where you're at, they bring you in. They hear you. You feel heard. You feel loved. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. So that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. The last thing, guys, on that 18th verse, where's Paul going to go? All of us go there. We go to the grave, don't we? No matter how faithful God is, no matter how much he brings blessing, no matter what he's doing, barring Jesus coming before we die, we're going to be in the grave. Or an urn, or whatever, however you want to do it. Or spread out ashes, blowing in the wind. We know what's before us. And I love this, how he says it. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack And that doesn't mean he's going to save me like I think. And he says, and will bring me safely where? Into his heavenly kingdom. You see, the good news, the great news for the believer is that we don't even have to fear death. Guys, think about that. In the big picture, we don't even have to fear death because nothing separates us. Not even death separates us from the love and relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. And so now, man, as I hold on to that truth, it gives me encouragement. Because no matter what happens, I know what's before me. No matter what evil attack comes against me, no matter what I'm going through, I know what lies before me. And yes, there are seasons, and when we have loved ones go, it's us left who struggle to process the pain of losing them. And that's a season. But even in that, we don't have to be undone. Because in Christ, what do I know? I know if they're a believer, they're with the Lord. And if I'm a believer, guess what? I get to spend eternity with them. It's not goodbye. It's see you later. And that's what gives us the heart to reach out, guys. Because we want more and more people. We want the people in our lives to join us for eternity with our Heavenly Father. There's a calling there. There's a calling. And it's a beautiful, beautiful calling. Focus on others. Don't lose sight of your purpose. Share the struggle. Be willing to live where others are. To be willing to give your life away. Even when the season is a long, rainy season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are enough, that relationship with you changes everything, that in our brokenness, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pain, we can experience your blessing. Father, we pray for those seasons of struggle to be short, at least emotionally. Lord, that those hits that we take when things go different than what we expect, Lord, that it wouldn't take us out of commission for weeks and months and years. But Lord, we would take the hit, go into the valley, and quickly come back up and go into the season of even in the storm experiencing your blessing. Father, this is so easy to talk about and so hard to do in the moment. And yet, with the right heart set and coming to you, it is easy. But we have to die to self for it to happen. Father, forgive us for being so self-focused. Father, forgive us for trying to fix things in our own strength, for trying to figure it all out rather than trusting you, Lord. We desire to see you in the midst of the storm. Show us how to rest in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.